This is CliffCentral.com.
Oh, it's still a great song. Snow Patrol, Chasing Cars. Beautiful.
This was my jam in school.
It's a great song.
I don't know. When you felt very emotional, like you're going through a lot, like Snow Patrol was there for you.
I like it. All right, so lots of stuff to get into today, and Harry Sideropoulos will be joining us in a short while. Sia says there's this new show that's coming on. I'm looking for new shows. You know, I've just Chernobyl just ended.
Oh, you watched the last episode of The Five?
Yes.
What did you think about it?
Well, it's amazing. There are only five episodes, which really means that just as you know, I mean, I was excited from episode one, but it's just beautifully done. Apparently, it's on track to be the highest rated TV show of all time for those five episodes. Consistently, they've all achieved a 9 or more rating, which is very high. They usually measure these ratings on you know, surveys that they do, but it's received tremendous results, and it's just incredible. One guy, the creator, I can't remember his name now, he's the writer, he's the producer, he's the creator of the show, he did all the research, he chose the actors, he did the screenplay, everything. Really, really smart dude, did the whole lot, because he was fascinated by the story. And decided it needed telling in a dramatic sense. Got some amazing actors like Stellan Skarsgård, and there are a few people who you'd probably recognize in the show. Like the guy who plays Harry Potter's dad is in it. The guy who does Roose Bolton in Game of Thrones is in it. It's a really great show, and I think this is probably going to win awards. I'm pretty sure it will. The attention to detail in terms of like showing Soviet Russia the way that they did, all very impressive. So if you didn't watch that series, it's worth watching. I saw a lot of people going crazy on social media for that yesterday. And I'm looking for a new show. So what do we got?
Well, have you heard of this new Netflix series called When They See Us?
Mm-mm.
It is based on the 1989 rape and assault of a lady called Trisha Mealy, and the Central Park Five being these five boys who were accused of the crime of raping and assaulting Trisha back in 1989. So these five boys, some are friends.
They were wrongfully accused?
They were wrongfully accused.
Oh, I hate shows like that. It drives me crazy when people are wrongfully accused.
Yeah, so some of them were genuine friends. Some didn't even know each other. But according to police reports, that evening when this rape and assault took place in Central Park, there were about 33 young men. And so when investigation was being undertaken in this case, it was just like, well, somehow the police back then justified that actually it was these five boys. What has now been revealed and also is being told.
How long did they go to jail for?
All of them served different sentences.
And none of them were guilty.
None of them were guilty at all. Yeah, some of them were in jail for about 6 years, some for seven.
Oh, my God. Oh, you imagine going to jail when you've done nothing wrong.
Oh, and mind you, it gets worse. These boys were 14 and 15 years old when this happened.
You have got to be kidding me.
The one who spent the longest amount of time in jail was sentenced as an adult, even though he was 15 years old.
Can I be controversial?
Yeah.
Can I guess they were black boys?
Mm-hmm. Black and Latino.
Right. So, yeah that's the bias of the justice system.
Right.
God. I mean,
it's horrible.
14, 15 years old, you get sent to jail for a few years. It doesn't sound bad, but every night is torture.
One of the boys was actually accompanying his friend who was pinpointed as a suspect. So he went with his friend to the police station to stand and wait for his friend, and somehow he was pulled in as well for questioning into the five.
This is so awful.
Well, yeah. So Let me at least.
I didn't know about the story. I've never heard it.
Yeah, it's called the Central Park 5 case. It happened back in 1989. To make you feel a little better, this is how the truth was revealed. The one who spent the most time in prison, this was in the early 2000s, was still in jail. And it happened that he was transferred to a different prison where the real rapist and the real person who performed this assault just also happened to be in the same prison.
Oh,
and
wow.
He then felt bad. And so this dude went up to him, said, "You know what? I'm sorry. I have to confess. I know why you're in here, and it's actually because of me." And because he admitted to the rape and the assault, that's how all five of them ended up being let
you
off the hook.
Got it. The guy who'd really done the raping was the guy who admitted to one of these guys.
What are the chances?
That's just extraordinary.
Yeah. Well,
what an incredible story. So this is the story that they've made into a series.
They were compensated for about $41 million.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, as they say,
that's not going to buy you back 5 years of your life.
Exactly. Well, now that this is a four-part series on Netflix, it's called When They See Us. It brings up the real-life stories, obviously, of the different people who played a part in this crime and also in the justice system. And one of them is a former Manhattan sex crimes prosecutor, Linda Fairstein, who had to now resign yesterday from several of her nonprofit boards that she works on in the wake of the controversy that has been triggered by the series.
What was her involvement?
Linda was the prosecutor who worked to making sure that these boys end up behind bars. So in a letter
Well, Linda, your chicken's coming home to roost. Look, you've got to be careful. That's why we have a presumption of innocence in our law. If everybody that you pointed at for some kind of guilt just was sent to jail and were presumed guilty, just, you know, by virtue of the fact that someone called them guilty, that's not a justice system. Mm. You listen to stories like this, this is why it matters. That everyone has the benefit of the doubt. Oh, these poor boys.
Mm-hmm.
I think I might watch this show, but it's going to kill me.
Yeah, Linda oversaw the prosecution, and in her statement in why she's stepping down, she's saying, "I do not want to become a lightning rod to inflict damage on this organization and so many others because of those now attacking my record of fighting for social justice for more than 45 years.
Oh, Linda. Oh, Linda, you got a lot to prove.
it's tough for her.
Tough for her. She sent these boys to jail.
And it's even tougher for these boys, absolutely.
Oh, Linda.
Do you think there's any way Linda and also some of the other people who fought towards getting these boys behind bars can be redeemed?
Yeah, she should say sorry to them. She should have a public kind of please forgive me moment. Because if they're willing to forgive her, then what job is... What do we have to say as just observers? If she forgives... If they forgive her and she asks for their forgiveness, then what is it to us? Then we move on.
Mm. It seems Linda is involved in so many different organizations. She's involved in an organization called God's Love We Deliver. There's another called the Joyful Heart Foundation. Yeah, there's another one.
She's trying to assuage her guilt. I'm telling you, woman knows. It was 1989, right?
Mm-hmm.
So ever since then, she's been trying to get rid of this guilt that she's been feeling.
Well, no. So some date back to she being involved with them since she graduated back in 1969.
Evil streak.
Yeah, it's tough. I haven't watched the series yet, but I'm gonna watch it as well.
All right, so someone says here, even my Huawei is working on the app. No problems. That's Eddie. You need to watch an older Ricky Gervais series on Netflix called Derek. Gervais is a genius. Yeah, he is.
Mm.
And Mark says, I've just finished watching Chernobyl. Oh my word, it's so well put together. Incredible acting. Huge eye-opener. Brilliant. And I don't blame Angelina for leaving, for Brad Pitt leaving Jennifer Aniston. I think Jen's probably a really terrible person behind closed doors.
Oh, geez.
Look at the list of guys that have left her. They all seem pretty easygoing, so the common denominator is Jen.
Oh. That's a little awkward, that's mean. To say the
that's,
least.
That's, it's mean, but it's possibly true. Who knows? All right. A few stories. Let's just look at what's going on social media this morning. I normally don't, but there are a few things. The people are talking about the Reserve Bank. I saw Justice Malala actually commented that this whole Reserve Bank thing is such a nothing burger. It's all about people who are trying to involve themselves in what few independent organizations there still are in South Africa that can control and guide the economy in a positive direction, because the state has got complete control of most of it. The state's also the biggest employer, biggest spender. And this idea that the Reserve Bank isn't run by the state, such nonsense. It completely is. I mean, the governor of the Reserve Bank's appointed by the president. All of this stuff is very much within state control. So it's just purely ideological nonsense. And Barney Mtomboti, who is always a good commentator on these things, says, ironically, the public squabble over the Reserve Bank comes from the fact that we were told Cyril Ramaphosa had flexed his muscles and read the Riot Act to the ANC-NEC. So maybe Barney knows something we don't, and we should listen to him. Mm-hmm. What an exciting day today. I get to see our friend Harry Sideropoulos, who we haven't seen for some time.
Yay.
He's got a brand new show.
Hello, 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 Harry. Gentlemen. Good morning.
Listen to that voice. I missed it. So Harry is, of course, more than just a friend to the show. He has been he's enshrined in our history as our first day announcer. For the very first episode of the Gareth Cliff Show, right here on cliffcentral.com. And we decided we'd catch up with him because he's got a great new show on. I'm going to see it tomorrow.
That's right, you are.
Very exciting. It's called Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
Staged at the pop-up theater at the Crystal Room at the Killarney Country Club. It's only from the 5th until the 16th of June. So if you miss out after that, sorry, you're not going to repeat it.
That's it. It's just 12 performances for now. I mean, for now, it's 12 performances.
God willing, you've got them lining up around the corners of every street around the theater, and then you're going to have to open up for a year.
Well, this week is already sold out, which is fabulous.
Oh. Yay!
Yeah, so we've got a couple of seats left, I think, just for Saturday, so it's looking good. Hello,
so you've done a bunch of shows before, Harry, and this is the latest in this lineup. What's the gist with this one?
Do you know what it is? I'm a 45-year-old man, and quite frankly, I feel irrelevant. In this world of social media, of this, like, I spend my days trying to come up with hashtags, for God's sake.
Really? Do you participate in that shit?
You know what? I don't. That's the thing. I hate it, but I know that I need to, because as you know, I've got my foodie experiences that I do, my shows that I do. And if I have one more person that walks up to me and says to me, and this is a true story, somebody said to me, Harry, you've got to invite this guy called Sean Social Queen to your show. And I said, who is Sean Social Queen? Sean Social Queen. And I said, who is Sean Social Queen? Like, oh, he's a very big influencer. And I went, what does that mean? I mean, I know what it means, but what does that mean? So it's a show about the lunacy of our lives right now. It's the craziness of our lives right now.
Do you feel pressure? You say that it's almost like you feel irrelevant, but do you feel pressure to have to kowtow to those people? Do you care if some influence is in the crowd or not?
I don't care. And that is why I made a very conscious decision, and I said this to you when I SMS'd you, is that, no, seriously, I'm very specific with who I invited.
Yeah.
Just because it's an opening night, it's not one of those where it's a database of 300 people. I've invited good friends that actually give a shit about me.
Yeah.
I've invited some people from the industry and media that I really like and respect.
Okay.
And the rest of some of my clients.
You found some of those that you
I
like
did.
And respect?
No, I did. They are. I mean, you got to put it through a sieve.
Really?
But I mean, you got to put it through a sieve.
If I had to invite people I like and respect in the media business, it would be a very short list.
Yeah, no, and it is. I'm being honest with you. It is. And you know what? I'm going to say this, and I said it to you on SMS, and I'm going to say it again. 20 years later, when this year it's been 21 years I've been doing theater. Gareth, you were the first person that A, gave me a platform. You came to my show, my first ever show, professional show, No Sugar Candorel, Please, which ran for 6 years, where nobody else was giving me any attention. No one. I mean, they were going, oh, who's this guy? Oh, who's this guy? We're not interested.
But you had a reputation already. You were well-known. People liked you.
Yeah, but people still weren't.
It wasn't like I was doing heavy lifting.
No. But it's interesting to see who still sticks around. And I think the interesting thing about the show as well is that if you're not in the public eye every single day, if you're not on radio, if you're not, people just don't give a shit. Influencers.
But Harry... people don't give a shit in their own personal lives.
Exactly.
If you think about the friends that you were to go into your WhatsApp list, go right down to the bottom.
Yes.
Go right to the bottom of your WhatsApp list and see whose name is right at the very bottom of that list.
Yeah.
And see how much you give a shit about that person and when last they messaged you.
Sure.
How it is. So social media is just the rest of what we're
it's
going
an extension.
Through. It's magnified.
It's magnified. All. And I think what's great about the piece, like with all the stuff that I do, is that it's funny. Yes, it is. And of course, I don't take myself seriously.
No. This is one of the reasons we like you.
And that's why I love it. But there is a little bit of this poignancy in the piece. And I'm excited. I'm really, really excited.
But doing theater is emotional. You can't not care about it. Otherwise, why would you put a show together?
And you know what's interesting with this process is that you can't bypass your shit. That's what's interesting about theater.
Even with No Sugar Canderel, please, I remember you took on the weight issue.
Yes.
You took on the dieting issue.
Yes.
You dealt with some pretty hardcore stuff there.
Yeah.
And I thought you're making yourself very vulnerable.
Yeah. And in this one I do too. Because
what's wrong with you? Why do you keep doing this? What's psychotherapy in front of a crowd?
First of all, it is psychotherapy in front of a crowd, and they get to pay for it, which is fabulous. You know what? I've always maintained that whatever you do when it comes to entertainment, like if you watch the last Chris Rock show, which was called Tambourine.
Unbelievable.
Okay. Oh, yes.
All right. I mean, there were times when you were watching that and you were going, ouch. And I'm a huge Chris Rock fan.
Unbelievable.
I mean, with that show in Washington, it was just phenomenal. And then when I finally saw this Tambourine, a very different Chris Rock, a very broken Chris Rock.
Yes.
All right. And I think that's what comedy is. Comedy is about taking all the stuff that you're going through and turning it on its head. I mean, that amazing Nanette, the piece Nanette on Netflix.
Who spoke about her the other day? It was John
Hannah
Flismas.
Gatsby. Mm.
She basically goes into this, she almost breaks down on stage and starts talking about abuse and men and
The audience was split in half. I mean, some people hated it and some people loved it. But I think that's the important thing about comedy. If it comes from a place of truth, it's like you on radio. If you come from a place of truth, people read it. Doesn't matter if they can't understand how and disseminate how you reach to that or why they're feeling what they're feeling. But you're giving them something that's truthful. And if you're giving them something that's truthful, it resonates. That's the bottom line.
Well, it's just easier because if you're doing hours and hours a day, every day of the week, it's too much to remember lies.
Yeah, I agree.
It's too much work.
But I'm astounded at the kind of every moment of our lives documented for everyone to see. And that's what I'm finding quite fascinating.
I'm still fascinated by your life because for a while you were living in Greece.
Yes.
You were traveling a lot.
Yes.
Then you decided now you want to do a show again.
Yes.
What? Give me an idea of what the life of Harry Sideropoulos is like right now.
It's not as fabulous as it sounds.
It sounds
great.
You know
what it is? It is. I'm not going to lie to you. So
I love that.
I'm very grateful. But what I decided to do is this thing of living half-half just isn't me. It sounds great in theory, but when you're trying to live it, it's very difficult.
Well, you can't put roots down.
You can't put roots down, and then people think that you're not here, and then you're there, and then you're not there, you're here.
And then when you are here, then they don't know you're here, so you're alone.
Exactly. So what I've decided to do is this is home, but I am now, which I'm very excited about, taking the show and I'm touring it.
Uh-huh. Okay, but hang on. There's something I need to discuss with you first. This every other South African is trying to get out.
Yes.
They're all saying, oh, the place is falling apart, and Cyril, and the economy. You want to live here. You don't want to live in Greece.
No.
Tell me why.
Because I'll tell you what is important to me. The older I'm getting, the people in my life matter. My mother matters. My sister matters.
Who you with?
It's who I'm with that really matters. It's the friends that come to my show that are so excited with flowers and that love me. And it's the dinner parties that I have at home.
Make sure we take flowers.
Yeah, please. Yes, I love flowers. No, you must spoil me. You must come.
I must take a bunch of flowers. Just go to get those cheap ones at Woolworths. Nothing too fancy.
Give me the ones with the sachet. You know what I mean?
I'm going to get the ones with the sachet. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to grab someone else's bunch who's already come in. And I'm going to give it to you. You're going to think, Jesus, look at this huge bouquet that Gareth bought me.
You know what?
The swap grass the is, cards.
The grass is not greener on the other side. But I do want to perform overseas because it is an interesting place to be and it is fantastic to get a new audience.
Mm-hmm.
But this is home for now. So what I do is the whole of next year, over the period of the year, they'll be touring. So in December, January, I'm in North America.
Oh, wow.
So it's Toronto, Montreal, it's Boston, it's Chicago.
This is very big.
Yeah.
Have you got someone doing your bookings?
Let me tell you, it's been 3.5 years in the making, and I've done all of it. And how has
everything?
Everything.
Harry.
Wow. Everything. And I'll tell you why. Because I don't want to go and perform in a comedy club with a brick wall behind me. And there's no offense to that. I want a theater, right?
Yeah.
So I located various theaters around.
How do you start? Do
you ask go online?
Friends in Toronto.
And I ask my friends, exactly. So all the friends that I've got in all those various cities, I ask them. Obviously, I do my own research. And then I find my three entry points, which is the Greek community, the South African community, all right, and the Jewish community. Those are the three big communities.
You gotta get into those three.
Because those are the people that know me, right? And then everything else that spills out after that is fantastic. And that's basically how it's happened.
And what's the general kind of interest level when you talk to someone in Toronto who owns a theater and you say to them, I want to do the show for a week?
But they don't care because for them it's money.
Really? So they're happy.
That's one. Yeah. They're very.
Do you have to pay some kind of deposit on these places?
You've got to pay a deposit. And in some places, you know, they're quite keen to do a door deal.
Oh, okay.
So, which is great. And then, like in Toronto, because I've performed there quite a few times, I have an infrastructure there already.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a team that I can literally phone up, which is what we're doing now, and saying, right, this is what we're doing. Let's get it. Let's prep it. Let's do all of that stuff. But at the end of the day, they're just hiring. They're hiring a venue. They want X amount.
I got a message here from someone who says, would you come to Ouagadougou? I've got a little theater that can seat 10. Would you be prepared to come to Ouagadougou?
If it was 25 or 30, I would. But I mean, for 10, it's all worth it.
Well, you know, Ouagadougou is known for
look,
its support.
I don't want to be, you know, but I mean, yeah. I mean, make it worth my while. 35 and a bottle of champagne.
You can't do everyone.
No, you can't do everyone. So that's basically how it's happened. And what's interesting, like with South Africans who are living overseas, and the next minute they hear that there's a South African comedian or a show coming, they flock to it, right?
Right.
Because those are your roots. And it's the same with the Greeks, and it's the same with the Jewish community. And then everything else that spills over. So what happened the last time I was in Canada was there were people who were Greek or who were South Africans who were telling their local Canadian friends, there's this really cool guy coming from South Africa, come to the show.
Right.
So what we do is the show gets slightly tweaked. So the things that are very South African in the show get tweaked. All right. So that it reads for an international audience.
Like what kind of joke would not work for Canadians?
No. So commentary on load shedding or commenting.
No, they don't
understand. You know what I mean? They don't understand that stuff. They don't understand all the you know, they don't understand Adam Katsavakos. You know, they don't know what the hell happened. You know.
He's the one who used the K word on the beach.
He's the
right?
one that, yeah, oh. he's the one that. So those kind of things. Otherwise, all the rest guys, we're exactly the same. And the thing is that my godson, who's 8 years old, Katie's boy. Katapotis was the boy that got my Instagram account up and running.
Really?
Wow. Yes, I'm clueless about this stuff.
Let me see your Instagram. I want to see what kind of shit
you're
putting
up. Yeah, I'm now intrigued.
Harry Sidiropoulos. Let's look you up. Can't believe I don't follow you already.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm upset that you actually don't follow me.
Harry, don't worry, I will know. Sidiropoulos.
Oh, okay.
There's two. It's the one with the underscore. I don't know where the other one came from.
Theatre producer, actor, creator of the pop-up theatre in Melrose, foodie, living between Johannesburg and Athens, and hates bad coffee.
And I do. That's what I bought. I mean, I wasn't sure. I couldn't remember
if
you made...
Very nice. 1,400 already following you. I see some pictures here about your show, Seriously.
Yes. All my foodie pics.
Mm-hmm. I see you with a bunch of ladies. I see you with children. I see you... what is this here?
What is that? Let me see.
Is this a... Is this a sex toy that you were given?
That's my godson's every year that sounds terrible. Every year we make candles for Easter. So I make him a candle every year.
Thank God. I thought it was a sex toy.
If that's what your sex toy looks like, I'm really worried because it's very long and very square. that can't.
Oh, it's square.
Where does that go? Okay. Is it square? It's
right. Well, you never know. Are you going to be feeding me at this show of yours tomorrow?
Yes, tomorrow, yes. You're going to get food. And there's food every night. So what we've done is, for all the... because I'm a foodie, I'm tired of going to the theater and then you've got to quickly rush out and go to the Mug and Bean because the kitchen's closing in 20 minutes. So what we've done is we've created all... When I say we, La Vie en Rose, which is the restaurant that is at Killarney Country Club, has taken all my recipes.
Yes.
So when you come into the foyer, all my street food is on sale.
Fantastic. Oh, nice. But you don't have to worry
about it. No, I don't worry about that. No. I've already tasted the stuff. I've sampled it.
You're backstage in a feather boa and
in a pink feather boa going over my lines going, fuck Marilis. It's not... I mean, that in itself. So there is beauty. Fabulous. There's a lot of beauty in this world.
I'm excited. Harry, I never leave home. I'm coming to the show of yours. I'm very excited.
It means a lot. Thank you.
About the your own life? Are you happy? Are you healthy? How's the family?
I'm happy. I'm back to single, so I'm on the market.
I remember.
I'm on the market.
Last time we were talking about this relationship.
I mean, I can't have these trans Mediterranean relationships. You know, where these people go, I'm so in love, and they live these like 2-year relationships on the internet. It's just, it's not doable.
It's not for you. You know what it is? It's childish.
It is childish. Do you know what, for me, the beautiful thing is about a relationship? I want to sit down on a couch watching Chris Rock with you.
Yes.
That's what I want to do.
It's not about these dinners and these romantic things and the engagement and all of that. People focus on that stuff. That's not everyday life.
Exactly.
It's very hard to keep that shit together.
I'm in a good space. I turned 45 this year, and you kind of reassess things.
You're a good 45.
I think I'm a good 45. Yeah. I mean, I look at my life and I go, yo, okay, we've got to change some of this shit. But then I'm also,
I look at the people who you used to work with, and you're in much better nick than them. I mean, I saw Jeremy Mansfield the other day.
Yes.
He was hanging at a bar. Here at the Bowls Club or whatever it is, with people who they must have been in their 90s, and I think he's hanging around with them because they make him look young.
Okay.
But he's not looking so young.
I actually saw them yesterday.
I saw them yesterday. How's she?
I said she's doing well. She's lost so much weight.
Yeah.
And she's looking fab, and she's swimming.
She's in good nick too.
Yeah, I've started swimming too, by the way. It's very funny. Guys, it's very funny.
Really?
So you're, by the way,
this long distance stuff?
No, don't be silly, long distance.
Because she used to do those.
No, she does the long distance. No, I don't do the long distance. First of all, Gareth, you're looking great. I mean,
you started beefing up. Please.
So I started swimming, guys, because I love swimming, right? Mm-hmm. So the funniest thing is at my gym, they say to me, you cannot wear underwear. And there's like big signs. And on that day, I forgot my kit bag at home. So I was at the gym. So I didn't want to not swim.
Well, because that's
the sign is, no underwear. And I thought, screw it, man. I got my bath gown because I've got this lovely white bath gown for the swimming.
Fabulous.
And I had these underwear. It was like dark blacks. It was like a very dark black. So
but it was underwear.
It was underwear.
Like a tanga?
No, it wouldn't be silly, a tanga. No, like proper,
boxer
like
shorts.
No, boxer shorts. So I thought, all right, it doesn't really look like underwear. I'm going to quickly jump in. But the signs are big, and they always patrol, and they also shit you out if you don't have like a punduki on your head, right?
Like underwear. Yes, you have to wear a cap.
You got to wear a cap. So I was quite nervous. Anyway, there was a guy there. There was a guy that checking the alkaline level. He was a personal trainer, and there was this lovely old lady who was just gently swimming. So I thought, let me find
old people always do the breaststroke.
They always do the breaststroke. So I thought, let me quickly jump in without anybody seeing me, all right?
Because then you're under the water.
And then you're under the water, and then you're fine,
right? Yeah, sure.
And I jumped in, guys, and because of the panic of getting this thing off.
Oh, no.
I jumped, but I missed the lane, and I fell in between that rope, what is it called? That buoy.
The lane separator
thing. And from virgin active, I literally just became virgin.
Oh.
Let me tell you.
It pulled you, pulled your shorts off.
It pulled my shorts off. And there is
what
a camera. There's a camera. There's a camera. So if
Harry,
someone gets hold of that footage and they put it on YouTube, they're going to make so much money. So much money as you literally see me fall and then I go, I turn upside down.
This must be a sight.
There is a sight. No, it's a sight.
Feel bad.
Unbelievable.
It's a sight. It is.
Balls out everything.
Balls out and a lot of pain. A lot of pain. A lot of pain. Like, that's the one thing that women can't understand. Huh? That pain. That pain is
I'm trying
epic.
To imagine you because you want to get out of the gun.
You
want to really
get out of the gun quickly.
See us now trying to imagine.
Yeah,
I am mortified.
No, so was I. So was I. That footage exists.
But did they let you carry on? You had your
swim? They did come up to me.
The personal
trainer came up to me very nicely. He went, "Perhaps for your safety, next time you should use the steps."
Oh.
And I looked at him and I went, "Yes, indeed." And I just turned around and continued swimming.
But well done to you. You're doing the swimming.
Yeah.
I would not deprive myself of your food if I were you, because you know it's good. That's one of the reasons you're a foodie. You know, if you made horrible food like I do.
Yeah. Are you a shitty cook?
I'm crap. I really am. I spend very little time in the kitchen. Really? I'm not that interested, Harry.
Are you a foodie in the sense of you're interested in eating it?
I like eating good food, but I have no interest in the preparation of
it. Okay, no, I get that. See, for me, preparing is a relief. It's a complete stress relief. Completely. I got my jazz.
But you live alone, right?
Yeah.
So isn't it boring to make fancy food for yourself?
No, it's just not fancy. One person? No, it's not fancy food. It's not
or
fancy
even go
food.
To any trouble, because that's what I find. It's like, I go, well, all right, I could probably learn to do something nice here.
Yeah.
But what's the, if it's just for me, a Tuesday night, like last night at home, I don't want to go to too much trouble.
I do. You know what? I don't get bored by the process. I really don't get bored at all. Like,
do you
ever
buy ready?
Of course.
Ready-made meals?
Of course, absolutely.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yes, I do. I do, but
you're
I'm
not
sourced.
A snob.
No, I'm not a snob at all. I've found the ones that I really like, whether it's at Woolies or at Pick and Pay or whatever. I find the ones that I like, and sometimes I go to restaurants and they've got their pre-frozen meals.
Yes.
There's a couple of nice Italian restaurants. What's the one I can't remember in Oakland? And I get like their lasagna from. No, I'm not a snob. Only thing I'm a snob, coffee. Don't.
Are you?
Like, for God's sake, guys, it's 2019 and you're giving me red coffee. I go to corporate companies for meetings, for shows, and they give me like instant coffee.
Harry,
I don't care that it's fresh percolated.
All right.
I'm not
this
fresh percolated.
You put it in your eye just changed.
I did. Yeah. I'm sorry.
So upset about this.
Yeah.
I need to ask you for your opinion. We've got this great new coffee machine.
Yes.
Before we used to have, do you remember the shit coffee we used to
I knew, people? That's why I bought my own. Can you see?
I
see.
My cup. I remember.
Luckily that's done. they brought us this new machine with the pods.
Yes.
Makes very good espressos.
Can you give me one so I can try it?
Please go.
Let's
make,
go and make.
It's
yeah,
called. I'm it's what is it called? L'Or Coffee. L'Or as in gold.
Yes.
In French.
All right.
And they've got these pods.
Okay.
I've become a coffee fan. I never was before because we used to have the instant shit.
No, you can't do instant shit. You can't.
But there are people who don't mind it.
No, I know they are. I've got people, friends of mine who run successful restaurants, and I'm really not going to say names, but they're like, they want instant coffee at home. I can't do instant. So that's the only thing I'm a snob about, is instant coffee and people that say use guys.
Use guys.
Yeah, use guys.
But what do we do with the coffee here? Do we add milk, sugar, or you're pure?
It depends. So, like this morning, I felt like cappuccino, but this one will be black. If you're going to make me an espresso, just black.
Just a plain espresso.
Just a plain
please,
espresso.
Barista Sia.
Thank you, barista.
Have you noticed how quiet it is here this morning?
It's very quiet.
Ben isn't here today. He's busy with something. Gord is overseas. Everybody's just absconding from.
But
duty.
It's very nice because now we've got your focus.
Yeah, I'm excited about this show. I think it's going to be great. Are you one of those people who has a particular plan in your head and you follow it to the letter, or do you allow variation
as a performing?
Yeah, no, I'm talking about this show because it's your show. No one would know.
We keep to it, and I tell you why. Because although it's comedy, people think, oh, you know, it's a style of stand-up, but it's theatrical, which means that there's sound cues and light cues. So I've got to hit specific words, because if I don't hit the word suddenly, the light doesn't go or the music doesn't go. Are you with me?
And so you remember everything in the script. I don't know how actors do
I must
that.
Say, Gareth, the older I'm getting, the more that freaks me out. Going blank. And of course the audience doesn't know, because yes, you can cover it.
Early onset dementia. That's
yeah,
what that is.
You kind of get a bit of a, oh God, what's coming next? What's next? It's that. So that's the only thing that freaks me out. Nothing else, actually. It's just, am I going to remember all the lines? And am I going to remember what my director told me? What was it? What did she want me to do with this phrase? She said something. Damn it. It's that. It's that. And it's important because that's why you got a director, so that you can map out the journey of the show, so that you've earned those moments. Oh, look at the Annalise cup as well. Let me smell it. Right, hold that thought.
You didn't add any milk or anything? No, nothing.
No milk, no sugar. Uh-oh.
It smells great. That's a good sign.
Right, it's a great moment. The revelation.
Great moment. Hang on a second.
As Harry is lifting the
the
cup to his mouth.
It smells fantastic. It's a great cup of coffee.
Oh, thank God.
It's a great cup of coffee. No, guys, it's a good cup of coffee.
Because you're an aficionado, you know
these
things.
It's a good cup of coffee. And well, you can tell it from two things. One, the smell. Mm-hmm. And B, they call it, I think, in Italian,
the crema, right?
Yeah. The crema. It's the crema on the top.
Well, Harry, I was out there just grinding them beans. I was working all day and all night for the master.
You didn't invite Sia, did you? Oh, you did?
No, Sia, are you coming to the show tomorrow?
I am. Oh,
please tell me you didn't invite me.
Why not?
No, why?
Because it would please me that I was on a list and you didn't just throw him in there as well.
No, I'm not sure. I've got to speak to Nicole.
No, Nicole and I have been chatting.
It's delightful.
I don't want him to come. I like to feel special.
No, but I like him. But you are special, for God's sake. And I said that to you on my Facebook message to you.
I'm going to be very critical of who else is on the guest list tomorrow. I'm going to arrive there tomorrow, and I want this to be the fucking royal family.
Well,
I don't want any outsiders. If I arrive and Harry's invited Nachschleppers from all over the place...
No, it's not a, look, I'll be honest, it's not, first of all, you're not, see, I promise you, you're not, you know that you're
not. Nachschlepper.
Based on Harry's criteria, saying that he's invited people that he loves,
yeah.
I feel like I'm on the, just on the cusp.
You're on the C list.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay, you can figure out the sound amongst
yourself,
boys.
You know what, excuse me, you I can just you look yeah, at my
Harry's
social
getting
calendar
very uncomfortable. This is great. All right.
This is how Gareth says he likes me too.
What do you think of what's going on in the news right now? Does that provide you with material, or do you mostly stay away from the hard news?
It does.
I've stayed away.
So I'll be honest with you, Gareth. Yeah, I stay away. I read it. Yeah. I read it like I've become my dad. I wake up in the morning and I start. I start with CNN, Al Jazeera,
and the Weather Channel.
And why, Gareth? Why the Weather Channel?
Yes,
I mean, why we're living in Joburg, guys? Like, at the most, you've got like a little sweater. Why? I've become my father. Why? I need to know what the weather is the next day. Like, if it's cold, just put on a jacket. No, I gotta know the weather.
Isn't it ridiculous?
That's the beginning of the end. You know that when you start doing stuff like that, you know it's that you know that you're just over there. I think, say, you've got some time, but it's that's yeah. So I start my day like that. I listen to it and I watch it. It's not, I have opinions, we pass them subtly if there is something that we feel that's relevant.
Yeah,
but I am not a political, I don't do satire. If the story is that big, we do, even for my stand up comedy stuff that I do for my corporates and that. But I also stay away from it because it, you don't know where people stand. And my kind of entertainment is a very different type of stuff.
And some people don't want the serious things, and yeah, they're actually, it's a bit of escapism, right?
Yeah. And although, you know, as I said, there's stuff that's very real, and there's stuff where there's a couple of poignant moments in the show. But I mean, it's a funny spoof on our lives right now. And the only way that you can do that is when you are constantly reading and seeing what's out there. And that becomes your narrative, is what's happening out there. What happens in your own microcosm? This show is a microcosm of my world, of your world. That's the thing. And the problems that I'm having with it. And realizing that I'm not the only person that's having these problems.
Is your mum coming tomorrow?
No, she's not coming tomorrow. You know what? She's elderly, Gareth. She's 80. So
can't you wheel her in?
No, she comes. She likes afternoons. You know, that's another. She likes afternoons. So,
you going to do a special matinee?
We've got matinee performances. We've got matinee performances on a Saturday at 5 o'clock, and then we've got another show at 8 o'clock. So it's two shows on a Saturday, a matinee on a Sunday at 2 o'clock. And yeah, basically this week we nearly sold out. So, I'm very excited. And then it runs for next week as well, from Wednesday through to Sunday. And they buy the tickets at quicket.co.za, or they can just phone the Killarney Country
Quicket.
Club. Quicket. Quicket.co.za.
Tell me how you spell that.
Quicket. Quicket. Like a quick ticket.
I'm
quicket.
Glad you cleared that up. I would have quicket.co.za.
So not to spoil this, if this is something that you're going to bring up on your show and get to answer, but you say the inspiration of the show is based on how you feel like irrelevant and these times are moving and it's like, what is going on with these hashtags and the boop and the beep and the all of that? What's your belief or attitude with it now? Are you more like, you know what, it is what it is? Are you feeling that the likes of social media are important?
I tell you exactly how I feel. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, it's important. Absolutely, it's a portal to our world. It is. It brings people together. It brings down dictatorships. It does amazing stuff. Mm. But we just need to remember humanity, and we need to remember this touching, feeling, communicating between each other.
And these people who go to, they travel, and then they're more interested in taking the picture than seeing it with their eyes.
My concern is that I'm going to grow up, we're going to wake up one day, and loving and hugging and being compassionate is a set of emojis. That's what I worry about. I've already got people that I will send them something, or I will say something to them, and they'll go, "Lol, that's so funny."
Boring.
Is that how you... It's like, boring. We don't laugh anymore.
That is so
We
true.
Don't laugh. Lol, that's so funny.
I hate lol.
You see, now that's the tone I thought Seriously was in when I first read.
Yes. Like it is. Everything about the show. Like, seriously?
I thought...
Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there are men at my gym. I don't know about you, but again, I didn't do the weights. I'm downstairs at the pool drowning. But like, what are you doing mid weightlifting, taking selfies and filming and posting?
Yeah. I've seen that.
New record today. Post my personal best. Very tough. Bring it on. Am I wrong, Gareth? Am I wrong?
Careful, you're upsetting Sia. A lot of these guys are the ones he follows.
Yeah, these are my prospects.
You're at the gym, for God's sake.
I see on your follow list, you follow something called Men and Coffee.
Yes.
That's interesting.
I love that picture.
Your two favorite things combined.
I love it.
Yeah.
Beautiful images of men with drinking coffee. I love it.
Is that all it is?
Yes.
This sounds a bit boring.
What?
No, are you kidding?
It's men drinking coffee.
Yes, what more do you want?
Hang around at the Vita down the road.
No, it's not going to be the same.
Oh, you mean good-looking men?
Yes,
not just
hipsters, yes.
When you do you do any of it in Greek when you go to Greece, for example?
So for the Greece tour hasn't... Guys, it's so funny. I love Greeks. I mean, I love Greece, but my God, everything takes... so much longer, but we have found a venue.
It's taken them 3,000
years. Yes, but it does take a little bit longer. However, having said that, it will be in Greek. It will be in Greek. It will be translated into Greek. Well, not translated, interpreted in Greek. Okay. And that one has been interpreted by a very good friend of mine who came from Greece to South Africa for the first time about 15 years ago, fell in love with the country, stayed here for 8 years, and then she had to go back. So she really gets the South African humor. And her name is Stella, and she will be interpreting the piece in Greek. So for me, that's great. So that excites me. And I got to say, when I'm in Athens, guys, I feel very happy because I have a little humble apartment. It's my mom's. It's not anything fancy. And it's in downtown Athens. And it's literally two tube stations away from the Parthenon. So all I do is I literally jump in the tube station. Literally, like 6 minutes later, I'm outside of the Parthenon. It's a 4.6-kilometer paved, beautiful road that they've all the way around the Parthenon. And I mean, I'm in one of the seven wonders of the world.
Yeah.
And that for me, guys, is you can't put a price to that. That's for me what I love about it.
I've got to say, you Greeks have not looked after that Parthenon very well. It's looking a bit ramshackle. There's just very little shelter.
It's you know what it is? It's the bloody pollution. I mean, it's
the
just
acid rain. Yeah. Is that still a problem?
It is a problem. And you know what? We've got all the good intentions, but you know what? I might offend some people, but our South African government and Greece government is very similar in the outlook
both
in life.
Shit.
Yeah, very, very similar. Mm. It astounds me. It's like we're blaming the Germans. The German, look what she do. Look what she do. She gave you how many billions of dollars? They want their money back. All right, they want their money back. Look what they do during World War II. And I think, for God's sake, and then they say, oh, but we gave the Parthenon. And I go, yes, back in classical antiquity. And then you switch the lights off. So it's...
but we gave... Okay, I can imagine you. Here's how I picture it, because I think the idea I have of Harry in my head is very different to reality. I picture you taking those two tube stations to the Parthenon, and walking with papers in your hand, learning lines yes. around the Parthenon. Is this the kind of thing that
you would, in a
dramatic scarf or something?
It sounds great, but let me tell you, when I'm learning lines, I literally have to pace in a very small space. So like this studio is perfect. Up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. I can't be outside. I can't be on a bench. I got to be like in a space like this, just pacing. Because there's a thing called muscle memory. I mean, you know it. Muscle memory. It's got to go into the physicality of your body. Otherwise, you forget the lines.
I get so scared thinking about learning lines.
Yeah, this is a 23-page script.
Oof.
Yeah. But apparently people that
goes fast on stage, though, right?
It does go. So the show's about an hour, 10 minutes long. The thing about...
I'll bring my hot water bottle.
No, there's Valdo Prosecco. They're our sponsor. And there's good champagne.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, what do you call your hot water bottle to keep yourself warm and a little fleece blanket? Don't laugh. I've got a fleece blanket backstage.
Have you?
Yes. So I don't get cold. I'm telling you, I've become like my parents.
Who's behind this with you? Is it just you doing everything?
No. So directing
it. Nice people.
I've got an amazing team. Directing it is a phenomenal South African performer and actress and director called Gina Schmuckler.
Ah.
Gina Schmuckler is a powerhouse. That woman is phenomenal. So she's directed the show.
Yes.
And then I've also got, do you remember my good friend Strato Kopteros?
I can't say I do.
No, okay. So Strato co-wrote the show with me, together with Bev Cook-Tonneson. And we've got a really powerhouse team. And I'm very happy. You know what the most important thing is? I didn't want to... You know, some people said to me, you know, why don't you take it to other theaters and what have you? The idea is that I want to have a happy place, all right? Doing theater in this town is tough. So I want my environment to be happy. I guess it's the same like you've created here at Cliff Central.
You want
a happy environment.
Otherwise, it's going to drag you down. It's not.
And the
be
guys
good.
At Killarney Country Club said to me, I said, can I take your venue and turn it into a theater for 2 weeks? And they went, okay, let's do it. And they haven't, whatever I've asked for, they've given me. And the minute you go to other theaters, now you can't do this, now we've got this, you can't do that. Hurry up, please, everybody's going to be out because the ushers need to go home. No. This is a casual, you can sit afterwards and have a drink. There's cappuccinos, there's Nutella chinos, there's Kahlua chino, whatever the hell you want, we've got it there. So the idea is that there's my street food with my spinach pies and my shawarma pies, and there's soup, beautiful, my homemade butternut soup and beef tomato stuff.
All right, I'm very excited.
Yeah.
Very excited. Okay, so Harry Sideropoulos' show is on. You need to get your tickets ASAP. It's called Seriously. You can get the tickets at Quicket, and it's at the Crystal Room at the Killarney Country Club from the 5th until the 16th of June. Good
Thank
luck.
You.
This sounds
Thank
amazing.
You. Thank you.
I will be there. I will be excited, and I'm ready to go and see Harry perform once again on stage. Thank you so much, sir. Pleasure to see you. Harry Sideropoulos, everybody. Isn't that nice? I was fine before I met you. I was broken but fine. I was lost and uncertain, but my heart was still mine. I was free before I met you. I was broken but free. All alone in a clear view, but now you are all I see. Hey, wait a minute. No, you can't do this to me. Scared. Gwen Stefani to give you some something of an upper this morning. I do want to mention that I caught sight of an article that was written in 2018, and it was for some reason doing the rounds again on social media yesterday. I wanted to share some of it with you this morning. It's an opinion piece by Sipho Mabaso, and it was for IOL entitled, "My Father is a Monster and I Refuse to be Silent About It." Now, in the article, Sipho explores how sick and tired he is of families cajoling the victims of domestic abuse to be silent. It's a very, very powerful piece. And it's very painful too, but Sipho is on the line to talk some more about this. Sipho, I'm so pleased to be able to speak to you. We've been trying to do this all week, but the article's really terrific. So well done on that. I know it's old already, but I'm sure you're still getting plenty of feedback on it, right?
Yeah, sometimes I do, Cliff. Good morning.
Morning. I've got to say that My Father is a Monster, this article is probably one of those things that's resonated with so many people in South Africa, and for all the wrong reasons, because we deal with a very twisted society where there are a lot of men who seem to get away with this kind of thing. What's the response been since you wrote it a year ago, and what's the response like still today?
Well, in the past, I got a lot of letters from several people who called me and said, look, sent me emails and said, I can relate to this. And Afternoon Express called me into Cape Town, and I went in and out of Cape Town on an interview. So it got a lot of response because I think there are thousands and thousands of people out there who are abused inside their family structures, and they're afraid to get out, or the families discourage them from actually expressing exactly what happened.
So there's a layer of protection for these men that we seem to afford them that no one else gets, certainly not the victims.
Exactly. Yeah, the victims. Actually, I think family is probably the worst kind of people you could go to get this out, because they'll likely take the position that the family name is more important than the indignity suffered by the victim. So they're likely to protect the perpetrator, which is unfortunate, but it's what actually happens.
Sipho, for those people who haven't read the article yet, and I suggest that they do, I put a link up on my Twitter to it just yesterday or the day before.
Thanks for it. Yeah.
No, sure. I think it probably is worth just explaining the difficulty you went through in trying to get your own father out of the way and getting a protection order against him, and how difficult that journey was. And in doing that, you obviously experienced what so many other people in this country have experienced when they've tried to do the same. Just guide some of us who haven't read the article through that story.
All right. Okay. Background is that no one is born with this kind of situation. You grow up loving your father. That's the first thing to say. Until the abuse begins, it starts and splits and splatters here and there. And you shove it off, and you think, it's not really big. Until really you get older and you realize this is really violating my dignity. So I went through years of, it started with a punch in the chest or whatever, just a, kind of playful punch in the chest, shut up. And then it got very, very bad until, 1 o'clock in the morning, he comes in and it wakes you up and just starts abusing you physically and otherwise. And then I got sick and tired of it. I began to complain to the family. They said, we'll talk to him. That went on for years until I decided, no, I need to out this. And I was discouraged by every member of the family that you're going to besmirch the family's name. And I decided to approach the Star to say, I'd like to write this. And I was asked by the editor, do you really want to do this? Do you really want us to publish this? Because it's up to you. And I said, yes, go ahead. The police are probably the worst people after family in this equation. Because if you want to report to the police, first, you don't have a room where you can report this stuff. It just happens in the open air at the counter there. And they talk about it openly. So everybody knows what you're going through, which I didn't mind. Mm-hmm. But I can imagine a lot of people who go and report this just simply walk out of the police station, as one woman did. So the police are really not competent to be able to deal with this kind of thing. They're not trained for this. I think they're trained for law enforcement and protest marches and things like that, but they're not trained for these issues that are constitutional issues. Quite frankly, the police don't know what the Constitution says.
Yeah, and they don't help people. And you can imagine the emotional trauma that someone is going through, and the fact that they've been brave enough to pitch up at the police station to then be treated like that is just a double insult. And can make it very, very...
To speak of emotional... Yeah.
You go on?
Yeah. To speak of emotional trauma, just to get in there, police know absolutely nothing about that. You're stretching it. You're overreaching if you're talking emotional trauma with our police force in this country. And they're not really a service. They're still a force. They haven't become a service yet. So the emotional trauma thing, you're talking Greek to the police. They don't even know what that means.
You know... You also bring up the story of how there are these family meetings, in particular South African cultural experiences, that they call a meeting of these men together who are the elders in the family. And one of those guys is usually the abuser themselves, and then they just cover for him.
Exactly. Exactly. And that happened a lot of times in our family. There was one guy I speak about in the article who went to the Ubuntu Book Festival, and he said his brother raped, his daughter said his brother, his elder brother raped his child, who is mentally ill in some way or another. And the family said, we're not going to even discuss that. And he was explaining this thing. And in the article, I explained that I actually believe the child. So when people say they're being abused by someone, especially someone close to them, someone related to them by blood, we must actually assume that we need to believe them until otherwise proven. Until then, I would tend to side with the victims who say, I've been abused by so and such, until we find out otherwise. You know, because there's more cases of people who say, I've been abused, who actually have been abused, than people who lie about that kind of thing. Right. There are cases where people actually lie about those kinds of things, but I don't think in most cases, those are minuscule, probably 1 to 2, 3% of people who go through this kind of stuff. But I was just sick and tired. I was willing to part ways with the entire family so that I could protect my dignity, because dignity comes first. Even in the Constitution, dignity is the first thing it mentions, you know, as a human right, because it was so violated in this country. And the worst violation is not happening in the political space even now or even then. It was happening in the family space. You know, the family has not lived up to what it is, an environment where you are protected emotionally and otherwise.
You know, I'm so glad you brought that up, because it is something that we tend to look at as something that people can solve on their own and privately. But I think it's probably, it's at the root of so many of our problems. And we talk about some of the more obvious social problems that people are very happy to talk about, racism and sexism and politics.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, people, it doesn't take much provocation to get people to open up about those things. But the family and the breakdown of the family, and the fact that people can't live happily in their families, and they find that, I mean, in this country, all the statistics show that most of the sexual violence that happens within families. Most of the murder that happens within families. This is a very jarring and very harrowing and uncomfortable thing for people to face up to, that the real danger isn't outside of the house, some opportunist criminal walking around. It's inside the house.
No. Oh, you're so right. Cliff, you're so right. A lot of the abuse that I've experienced has not happened outside the family structure. It's happened within the family structure, especially on my father's side, especially particularly from my father. The emotional abuse, I can't begin to tell you how much of that I've had to withstand, aside from the actual physical abuse. So going to get a protection order against your parents, I mean, I was looked at funny by the police. I mean, they practically laughed at me, and I was like, how could you laugh about this? This is serious stuff. But and they suggested many times, and I mean, they suggested 1,000 times, if I may say, that can't you sort it out within your family? I said, for the fact that I'm here at the police station appealing to the law to sort it out for me, it means the family structures failed to sort this out.
Yeah.
You know, so you must understand that someone doesn't just start at the police station. No one starts with lawyers, you know.
Well,
it gets to the law when other measures have failed.
Sipo, a very brave article, a very well crafted piece that should strike a lot of people really where it hurts, and I hope that that it does the good that I'm sure it will be doing for people who might just feel that they're alone. Sipo Mabaso, the journalist who wrote this piece on the phone with us this morning. Thank you so much, and well done again for a terrific contribution.
Thanks a lot, Cliff.
Thank you
Appreciate it, man.
There we go. Sipo Mabaso. You can read that. I put it in my Twitter, so you can just come follow it from that. I think I tweeted it out on Monday. Worth a read, and I thought not something you just want to skim by, you know? Get into it. It's not a long article, but my God, it is, it's harrowing. Go and take a look. We will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9. We've got Pumi popping by. We've got the Burning Platform. Get ready. And if you want to find out where Gord is, we'll maybe be able to catch up with him on Friday. Otherwise, just follow him on social media. He's in Amsterdam. I think he's catching up with Hi Rob this week, which is bound to be fascinating. Keep an eye on that and a whole lot more. And by the way, while we're talking about this stuff, payment cryptocurrencies. You know, this came up on Monday when we spoke to Sean Saunders about his own business, Revix. What are the differences between one payment-focused crypto and another? What has been going on with Litecoin? They call it the silver of cryptocurrencies. Why? Get the answers to these questions and more on the latest episode of Beyond Bitcoin, which is brought to you by Revix, and find out why you should own a bundle of payment tokens. Get up to date with all things crypto now at cliffcentral.com, on the app, or wherever you get your podcasts. Go and take a look now. And by the way, sign up for one of those Revix accounts and try it out. You don't have to be a fancy investor who knows everything to start to experiment in this world. They're going to be ups, they're going to be downs, but you don't want to miss out on the excitement that goes with all of it. That's at cliffcentral.com today. All right, have a good day.
This is cliffcentral.com.